Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk and your host for this podcast conversation. And today we are delighted to have with us the San Diego Police Chief, Shelley Zimmerman. Chief Zimmerman, welcome to our conversation.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a delight to be in this lovely office of yours right in the, well, heart of downtown San Diego. And also we're delighted because you were hired by the police force in San Diego in 1982. And in 2014, you became the chief of the San Diego Police Force. Was that always in your ambition, in your sights for your career?
You know, that's a great question. And I'll tell you, the journey through life is rarely a straight line. There are going to be many twists and turns. And I say follow those twists and turns because they could lead you to places you never imagined were possible. You know, it wasn't. And I was a junior at the Ohio State University. And we came out in 1980, some friends of mine, to go to watch Ohio State play USC. I'm very sad to say that my Buckeyes lost that game in just a few seconds to go in the game when Charles White scored a touchdown. But I believe in turning something negative into something positive. And quite frankly, I'm a product of tourism. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I would see the commercials for the San Diego Zoo while I was, quite frankly, freezing back in Cleveland in the wintertime. So we rented a car and we came down to San Diego to go to the world famous zoo, and it was just beautiful. And we went to some of the beaches here in San Diego, and I made a decision right then and there that I had shoveled my last driveway. So I returned to Ohio State. I graduated. After graduation in 1981, I jumped on a plane with $200 in my pocket, one suitcase, and my guitar. When I got off the plane in San Diego, I didn't know anyone. I didn't have a job. I didn't even have a place to stay. And here I am, honored for the privilege to be chief of police of our San Diego Police Department.
That is quite a journey and quite a story. So did you go immediately into the police force when you got here? What did you do in those first years in San Diego?
Well, you know, a great question, because I always thought that I would go to law school. My dad was a World War II veteran, a machine gunner in the infantry in the Army during World War II, and he wanted one of his four kids, he and my mom had four children, and wanted one of us to follow in his footsteps. He was a trial attorney in Cleveland. My older brother became a doctor and moved to New York. My older sister became a teacher and moved to North Carolina. And I was the one that was interested in the law. I mostly put myself through Ohio State. And when I moved out here, I still thought I would go to law school. And I knew I would have to, you know, pay for law school myself. And I saw that the San Diego Police Department was hiring. And I thought at the time, what better way to help pay for law school, but I'll become a police officer. But from day one, I fell in love with being a police officer. I never went to law school, and I tell you, I have no regrets about that decision. It is an honor to be a San Diego police officer. And I will say that my younger brother, he stayed in Cleveland, and he is a trial attorney, so I guess everybody got something.
Oh, the whole family settled out into all the right professions,
exactly.
Ultimately. That's a great story. Thank you. So as the first female chief of police in San Diego, how did your fellow police officers react? And of course, by fellow, I mean males and
sure.
Females.
You know, I would hope and I think that they were very happy for me. I've been, like I said, on the department since joined the department in 1982, worked a variety of assignments. I worked undercover for several years. So, you know, had a variety of experiences. And I know, you know, a lot of people are saying you're the first police chief, first female police chief. And I'm very honored for that. But I will tell you is that I just look at myself as a police officer. And I just wanted to be the best police officer that I could be. You know, I don't put that title on myself. I know others do. But I will say this, is that I've come to realize how important that it is to be that role model for especially the young girls. Mm. And it's something, why I say that, it's something that happens to me almost every day. You know, I know this isn't being videotaped, but I'm wearing my uniform. I wear my uniform every day. And one of my favorite things to do is to just walk around the city and talk to people. And it's what comes, you know, happens pretty much every day is when families come up to me, and I will say, quite frankly, more fathers than mothers with their young daughters and saying, honey, this is the chief of police. You could be anything you want in the world, And I say, that is correct, but I also add, but you have to be willing to work hard. So it is really just an honor for me to be the first female police chief. Like I say, I look at myself as just a person, not a male, not a female, but just a good police chief, a good police officer, and trying to do the right thing every single day for our department, for our community, who we proudly serve. But when those families come up to me with their young children, and you know, we have the Brownie troops or the Girl Scout troops that come up here, and they look around the office and I see their eyes just light up and say, you know what, I can do anything I want in the world. And so that is an inspiration for me too.
Oh, that's a great story, and that's the sort of thing we love to capture, is hearing about the role modeling, especially for young girls. So that leads me actually to another question. Is the glass ceiling getting higher with regard to women coming into law enforcement, say?
The city of Chula Vista just appointed Roxana Kennedy just last week, and she is now the new chief of Chula Vista, and so very proud of her. I've worked very closely with her. And also we have Jerry Williams, who is the chief of Phoenix. It used to be, I believe, that as far as major cities with population, that I was the only one in, you know, the top 10 or 20, but now we have Jerry Williams, chief of Phoenix, and that's a city that has more individuals, more people living in that city than we do in San Diego, is the 8th largest city. And I would tell you, I think the opportunities are more and more as more women get into leadership roles in police departments. I think we're going to continue to see more of that, and that's great.
Yes, that is. That's good news. Now that we're starting to talk more about the actual police force itself, and it's no secret to you or to any of our listeners that the police forces across the United States have been getting a fairly tough rap recently. And I'd like you to address that, particularly with regard to San Diego.
Yeah, definitely. I could not be more proud of our police department, our sworn personnel, our professional civilian staff. We're not robots. We're humans, and we are going to make mistakes. And we do make mistakes. But I'll tell you is that our philosophy is that we hit those mistakes head on. And when someone makes a mistake, a couple different ways, a lot of people ask my philosophy about how do you address police misconduct on your department. And this is my philosophy on this. I'll give this in an analogy, is that there's a difference between misconduct and additional training. And an example might be, and I'm a huge football fan, so I'll give the example. Let's say that a quarterback throws an interception. Now, did that cornerback hurt the team? Of course. But did the quarterback throw the interception because the corner of the other team just laid out and made a great play? Or maybe the linebacker came through and wasn't blocked and then hit the quarterback's arm and the quarterback ended up throwing the interception? Now, the quarterback didn't mean to throw that interception. It still hurt the team, so we're going to give the quarterback some more training maybe to read defenses. But on the other hand, if the quarterback threw an interception because they knew that was the other team and you threw the ball directly to that other team, well, that's misconduct, and you don't play for me. So that's the way that I look at it. You know, as the chief of police, maybe some people, you know, in the analogy would look at me as the head coach. And if you know it's wrong and you do it wrong anyway, you throw that interception to the other team knowing that it's wrong and you're going to hurt our team, misconduct, you don't work for me, period. But if you threw that interception and you didn't mean to, but it went wrong, well, maybe we just need to give you some more training. Maybe it was a teachable moment, a coachable moment. And so you have to kind of look at everything on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you, with our police department, again, I'm so proud of them. Nobody wants bad cops off the police force more than the good cops. And I would tell you, the vast majority of officers are great cops.
That is good to hear, and I hope we hear more of that, you know, as time goes by and as our country progresses into a new administration that we'll have in January 2017. Do you expect any changes to be brought toward the police department for you as a result of the new administration? There's been talk of building a border wall. You are a police chief on the border. Are you expecting any changes?
Yeah, I'll tell you that we are very comfortable with our philosophy. First of all, I'll just say we are not a sanctuary city. We work very closely with our state, local, federal law enforcement agencies. You're right, we are a border city. It's about, my understanding, about 50,000 cars a day, about 25,000 pedestrians that cross the international border right here, which is, quite frankly, right at our southern division. And what we want our public to know is this, and our community policing philosophy is that public safety is a shared responsibility between our police department and our community, who we proudly serve. So we want our community to know that if you are a victim or a witness of a crime, regardless of your immigration status, we need you to come forward so we can make sure that we professionally investigate that crime that has happened against you. And we need our witnesses to come forward regardless of your immigration status. But we also say very strongly that if you are a suspect, that you should know is that all of us working together, we're going to do everything that we can to take you into custody, to bring you to justice. And every person that is booked into the San Diego County Jail, which the San Diego Sheriff's Department's run, their immigration status is checked. And so the message that we send is that we need our community, and it makes us stronger in our community policing philosophy, that you have the trust to come forward and tell us things as a police department, work with us so we can learn information, so we can keep all of our community safe, keep our entire region safe. Just last week, I traveled to Tijuana to meet the new director of public safety and the new chief of Tijuana PD, and we talked about how we all have to continue to work together to keep our entire region safe.
Mm-hmm. And more now, probably than ever before, that has become increasingly important. I'd also like to ask you about the use of body cameras. Is this something that you are a proponent of for police officers?
Thank you for that question. Yes, as soon as I became chief of police, I'm a huge proponent for body cameras. I believe we still may be. At one point, we were the largest city in the United States that had deployed body cameras. We have more than 1,100 on our sworn police officers and our sergeants, including our canine and motorcycle officers, and huge proponent. I believe that it's a win-win for everyone. It's a win for our police officers, a win for our community. I believe that anytime you know that you're being videotaped, your behavior, be it a police officer or a community member, is likely to improve. It's now we've had them for about 2.5 years, and we have a very strong policy that has we view as a living document. We have already updated our policy several times, and I wouldn't be surprised if we continue, as we continue to learn new things, to continue to update that policy. And we've had, you know, police departments, quite frankly, from around the world come and talk to us about how we implemented as a major city in the United States our body camera program and how did we come across with our policy. What we found is that our complaints have been down, have been reduced substantially, our allegations substantially. And we also found that our higher levels of what we say our use of force have been decreased. And, you know, a lot of people, they're under the impression, I think because they see this so often on the news, about, you know, the times that, that force is used with the police department. Here in our police department, San Diego Police Department, on a yearly basis, annually, we get about 1.3 million calls into our communication center. We come in contact with millions upon millions of people every single year, and we use force in less than 1% of the time, specifically 0.87%. And again, now since body cameras, we use lower levels of use of force. So I think the body cameras are a win-win. But I will say this, the body cameras are not the answer for everything. It's because, you know, they're a great piece of evidence, but they're not the piece of evidence. They're just a piece of evidence. In many cases, helps to clarify situations, but not in all situations. And again, going back to a football analogy is, you know, you can have 10 or 15 high-definition cameras on a football game, and sometimes, you know what? You still can't tell if the player's knee was down or if they fumbled the ball. And it's the same thing with the body camera. Sometimes you just can't tell. And let's not forget, too, that the body camera is two-dimensional, not three-dimensional. The body camera does not sense fear or feel pain. So although it's a great piece of additional resource to assist us in how we do our work with our community, it's not the only thing.
That was very interesting to hear you talk about the use of the cameras and also the percentage rates that you quoted about your arrests and, you know, for felonies. How is San Diego placed in regard to the rest of the United States to the crime rate?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you again, we're very proud of our sworn police officers, our professional civilian staff, all of us working in conjunction with our community policing philosophy. We're proud to say that we are one of the safest large cities in the entire United States. As a matter of fact, for the last 2 years, we had the lowest homicide rate per capita of any major city. Even one homicide is one too many. The sanctity of human life, I think we all agree, is paramount, and we do everything that we can to save human life. But, you know, our overall crime rate this year, we keep a very close eye on it, obviously, on a daily basis. And we're creeping up. It has increased over the last year from our violent crime and also our property crime. And I think there are many different reasons for that. But overall, we are one of the safest cities. And that's because, I will tell you, again, the tremendous job that our police department does working in conjunction with our community. You know, no police department is large enough to police a city. You need your community's trust. You need your community to come forward and tell you things. You know, we put out a community policing report about every 3 months, and in that report, our public sees that we participate as a police department in more than 1,200 different community events about every 3 months.
Wow.
And yeah.
That's impressive.
And we need to do that because, again, we need to be accepted in every single community that we have in our great city. You know, we have 340 square miles, about 1.3 million people live in our city. And you heard me say is it's not just the city, it's really our entire region, because the criminals, the suspects that prey upon our good citizens, they don't necessarily care where the boundaries are. You know, it could be a different city in our county. We have, you know, many different cities in San Diego County. So we all must work very closely. We have, again, as we talked about, the largest, you know, international border right here at our Southern Division. We have a large military presence here that we're so proud of our military personnel and work very closely with them. So it really is all of us working together to make sure that our entire San Diego region stays a very safe region for everyone. We're a tourist town. We, you know, if you take July, we're very proud. I think it was one of the largest or the busiest July that we've ever had, I think, in the history of our police department and city. We started the month of July with managing more than 3 million people at our beautiful beaches and bays over the 4th of July holiday weekend, went right to All-Star Week with hundreds of thousands of people coming to enjoy all the baseball festivities, went right to our Pride Weekend, and that happened right after the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, and we had, you know, tens of thousands of visitors here, and we went from there right to our Comic-Con and our international Comic-Con that everybody loves in our downtown area. So it was one event after another event. But again, unfortunately, you know, we talk about being a safe city. Tragedy struck our police department. Mm-hmm. We had seen so many police officers across the country be murdered this year just for the fact that they wear a uniform. And on July 28th, unfortunately, we're still mourning the loss of one of our own with Officer Jonathan J.D. DeGuzman.
A very fine young police officer.
Yes.
And I think when our listeners and the public generally hears the grief that, you know, you feel, they realize that there is so much humanity behind police officers, that they're not just out there armed to shoot or to maim or whatever, that they too are in the line of danger. And that has to be a very, very hard issue to deal with from your perspective as the chief of the police department.
You know, very much so. You know, it's that was the most difficult thing that I ever had to do, was go knock on the door of, you know, JD's wife, Jane DeGuzman, early in the morning, and with their two kids there. JD's parents were there to let him know that JD was not going to be coming home. You know, it's not something that you ever get over. Nothing can prepare you for that. I had the privilege of working with JD a couple different times when I was a lieutenant at our Mid-City Division and then as a captain at our Northern Division. You know, he went out every single day, as our officers do, just wanting to make a positive difference in the lives of our community. And we understand the dangers that our police officers face every day. And I want to let our public know is that our resolve to go out and protect our public is as strong as it's ever been. And we know that our community needs us, and we need our community to support us. And that's the public safety is a shared responsibility.
I think those are perfect words on which to conclude this interview. So we just want to offer to you our thanks from the IVAL team to Chief Shelley Zimmerman of the San Diego Police Department. Thank you for joining us for this conversation.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.